your Facebook has all of, like, everything can be that kind of magical, epic sort of stuff instead of just.
You've said the word magical like five times.
Because I feel like that's the kind of shit that people put on their coupley photos.
Oh, it's all that,
right? Is everything's magical, right? It's like, it's magical, it's wonderful, it's enchanting.
If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out of the box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then you've come to the right place. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And this is the Multiamory Podcast.
Songs I know I did, false and made up for myself to fit.
On this episode of the Multiamory Podcast, we're talking about the effects of social media on your relationships and some of the unique challenges presented to non-monogamous relationships.
Social media, what a millennial topic to cover.
I know, right?
Sorry, I really like being a millennial and hating on millennials at the same time.
Wait, are we technically a millennial? Millennial crowd?
I guess we are.
Yeah.
We are? We are the definition of millennials.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. I'm like a little closer to the borderline before that.
A tiny bit closer, but yeah.
Which
but
is
still,
what, like Generation X?
I mean, Gen Y-er, or you're not a Gen Y-er, but that was what you'd be close to.
I thought the Gen Y was kind of ended up not being one that stuck.
I think it sticks in some places. I didn't intend to open up with a conversation about generations, but...
Because I thought the cutoff was like 1980 was the cutoff for...
Well, you're close.
For not like being Generation X, I think. But then the cutoff for millennials was something else. But I don't know. I feel like it changes all the time. Mm-hmm. So whatever.
You're definitely a millennial.
Anyway,
just embrace it. If you're not, technically,
I'm a
you look young enough to be
a millennial
because you look like
true.
A tiny, tiny boy.
You look 26 or something.
Aw.
Yeah.
Little
true.
Do they know.
Little do they know.
Actually, 45.
That's not true.
Anyway, social media. What a millennial topic to cover.
Yeah.
As I was saying.
Totally. So this. We brought this up a little bit last week when we were talking about long-distance relationships, but we realized this comes up often enough in people's questions and has been, you know, a significant issue in our own lives, in our relationships, that it's worth having a whole episode just
about
this.
It's something that pretty much most of the other poly books out there don't really talk about, at least not explicitly. I mean, I know, like, when I was writing...
talk about it?
Well, when I was writing the Smart Girl's Guide to Polyamory, I tried to acknowledge it as much as possible throughout the text. But yeah, like none, like the ethical slut doesn't really talk about it. More Than Two doesn't really talk about it, and it's definitely this new crazy thing that it feels like we're for the past 10 or 20 years still constantly scrambling to kind of keep up with and figure out all the new etiquette and rules for social media, and it's something that affects everybody's perception of relationships, not just people who are in non-monogamous or multi-partner relationships.
Yeah, I think it's interesting too how like the dating advice just in general about social media and like texting, for example, has changed.
Oh yeah.
But I remember, you know, when texting was a newer thing, and also like, you know, AIM or maybe ICQ for those of you who
MSN Messenger.
Been doing this for a while. MSN Messenger,
what the hell
whatever.
Is ICQ?
Oh, ICQ was in the olden days.
It's like
it was
the predecessor
to AIM.
Yeah.
Instant messaging service.
But anyway, with all of those sorts of text-based messaging and even just email, like having convenient, quick messaging with people, like, you know, a lot of the advice was about just kind of saying, don't use it at all.
Just
it's a terrible thing that makes your communication go badly. And I remember having a lot of miscommunications over AIM when I was in college. And when I look back at that and then I look at now, I feel like in general, I have a lot fewer miscommunications with people via text communication of some sort or another. And I think that part of that is that we have culturally developed all of these little cues and shorthands and ways to communicate better our intentions.
I think that we've learned better. I think how we've to learned how to do it better. Clearly over text.
I think we've both learned how to interpret it and also what things to put in, like lols and emojis and gifs and stuff like that. Yeah,
gifs.
I went on a date like maybe 3 years ago, I think, when Jace, you and I were starting to get into polyamory. I guess maybe
that would have been longer ago.
4 years, four or five or something. Yeah, and with a guy who said like, "Hey, why don't we not Google each other?" Which is an interesting idea that, like, you have the internet at your fingertips now, and you can just Google
as soon as someone says, "Hey, let's not do that," I'm like, what are you hiding?
No, exactly. I mean, well, and it ended up being someone who I've talked about on the show before at a certain live show where I read his very incriminating text message to me later, but I should have known that that was a red flag.
Yeah.
I suppose. But I've also had the experience recently of going on dates, like, actually, honestly, my first date with my partner, Alex, he was like, yeah, like, I listened to a couple episodes of your podcast, and then I kept listening to it, and then I was like, I need to stop listening to this, because this is also going to be weird, like, heading to a first date, having, like, cyber-stalk this person. And so, like, for him, it was like he kind of stalked to a point and then decided to stop.
Sure.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think, like, I don't know, it feels like people come down on both sides of the fence on that, of either, like, just hold off on, like, trying to check out any of the social media of anyone you might be going on a date with, or some people are like, no, dude, check it out. Like, use it as a tool in helping you evaluate whether you should go on a date with this person.
If this is going to be shitty or not.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, once upon a time, this never would have been a thing that people would have been able to do.
I want to have a little, can I have a little PSA real quick about cyberstalking?
So PSA away.
This is, has to do with your privacy online, if this is something that you're concerned about. And this happened to me, so I met someone on OkCupid quite a while ago, and we messaged each other a little bit, and then kind of nothing more came of that. And then maybe 6 months later or something, she sent me a message on Facebook. And we're not Facebook friends, we didn't know each other. Didn't even have many mutual friends. Maybe we had one or two. And in talking to her later, I found out the way that she did this, and this is a normal thing that she does, is she takes your pictures from your dating profile and then does a reverse image search on Google.
Dudes on Tinder do that shit all the time.
Right, to find you on other social media, because if you've used those same pictures anywhere else. So if this is something you're concerned about, be sure that whatever you use on your Tinder or on your OkCupid or whatever are pictures that you don't use anywhere else online. Yeah. Because it's super easy to find you.
Oh, yeah, no, that's happened to me all the time. And I feel, honestly, I feel like that's probably a common experience of people. At least I feel like I hear about it more on the female side of like, well, like Tinder or Bumble, where it's set up in such a way that you can't just like click on somebody and message them right away, that like people will grab your image, reverse look you up, and then try to send you a message through your social media because there's not an obstacle there of like having to be matched.
Right.
Which really gets my goat. Let me just get on my soapbox about that within your
Twitter
PSA.
Too, on Twitter, too, when people link to their Instagram, you're just saying, here's all my social networking
Tinder.
For free.
On Tinder.
On Tinder, yes. I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah.
On Tinder, when you link to your Instagram, it's like, yeah, here's my other thing that's not stopping you from messaging me. You know, it's kind of undermining the whole kind of premise of Tinder.
Well, who is undermining? The person linking their social media, or the asshole who knows what the premise is and decides to message you on your social media anyway? Are we victim blaming here?
I think
Are we getting into PSAs within PSAs within PSAs?
Maybe. But I think that if that's something you're concerned about, like, don't link your Instagram. It's you're so easily enabling someone to do that.
I just, that line of arguing just makes me nervous. So are you saying that by linking my Instagram to my Tinder account, I'm asking for it? Is that what you're saying? That I'm asking
for
someone to...
I'm saying you're making it a lot easier for guys to do that to you. We've
maybe
had this conversation many times.
Maybe we should just educate men about not harassing women.
That's true.
That's
what
where
a thought.
I come down
what
on.
A novel
what a
idea.
What a novel idea.
But
sure, but
I will say, Dediger, anyone who wants to look you up is going to find out what
I have within 30 seconds. A somewhat unique situation where people don't even have to reverse image search me. They can just search my first name. And there I am.
You're easy to find.
Anyway, let's bring this back to social media. Well, we kind of started digging into this a little bit.
Right. So the first topic we wanted to cover is this creeping on potential partners. Right.
And I actually, we use the word creeping mostly to avoid using the word stalking, because I think that, like, we actually from a language standpoint, we should be better about distinguishing when stalking is unhealthy versus when it is, like, checking out someone's Facebook profile. Because we kind of use the word stalking very cavalierly, like, oh yeah, I stalked your Facebook profile, or I stalked your Twitter, or whatever.
Sure.
When, like, actual stalking really is a
more
terrible thing and a more scary thing.
Yeah,
so that's why we use creeping. Or poking
like
about.
Like the Radiohead song.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Sure. Sorry, to
creep,
a second.
Not
to...
creeping, but creep.
Yeah.
So how do we feel about that? Because I set up, you know, that some people say, like, no, you should do that. That should be part of your factor in deciding whether or not to go out on a date with someone. And then other people are like, no, like, let there be some mystery. Let yourself find out about somebody organically.
I mean, I generally think that the advice is pretty sound of being like, do at least a cursory Google search of someone you're going out with.
Yeah.
Especially if you have mutual friends or something in common, I would personally worry about it less. But otherwise, you know, sure, just check it out. See what's going on, just so you're not walking into some super surprising thing.
What are the kind of things that you look for when you, like, creep on somebody's social media before you go on a date with them?
How beautiful their Instagram profile is.
I try to look at candid photos of them. You know, like non-tailored photos, if they have any available on Facebook, just to see, like, even when they're not in control of what angle the selfie is at, do they still look good? Which makes me sound really superficial.
I feel like a thing for me, and you can't always find this, it depends if they have a blog that's publicly viewable or if they're okay with being Facebook friends or something before you go out. But for me, it's like the tone of the stuff they post. If they complain a lot, if, like, the prominent thing they do is complain on their social media, then I might go in with a little bit of, like, hey, it's nice to get to know you, but I'm not sure this would work out. Just for me personally, I don't want that kind of negative attitude in my life.
Yeah.
What about you, Em?
I definitely think that I've Facebook stalked people for sure.
Uh-huh.
Or, sorry, creeped?
Yeah, creeped. Yeah.
And Instagram and all of that. And, sometimes people have websites now.
Wow.
You can go and, like... Well, no, yeah. Like, just some of the people who I'm dating definitely have websites of themselves.
Sure, just, like, personal websites.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you can go on there, see if they've written anything, like, if they've taken any pretty pictures or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I enjoy doing that from time to time, for sure.
It can give you
and
some...
also after, like, the first date as well,
sure.
If you're interested, or if you just met someone randomly. I've met people at parties, and I'm like, oh, shit, I gotta go home and see what's happening
their deal is.
Yeah, exactly.
We've all become these cyber sleuths.
Well, so, an interesting one for this, for non-monogamous people, is creeping on someone to try to see if they're poly or not. Like, maybe you kind of suspect they might be, but you don't know for sure.
But unless they're super overt and out and, like, posting links to articles
and shit.
It's like,
I've definitely looked at someone's posts and pictures and been like, like, they're not overt about this. Like, but I do notice they have a number of couple-y looking pictures with more than one person that seem to overlap. Mm. And I'm like, maybe they're just real close friends. And you never know for sure.
I feel like there's always burned me in the past.
But
I feel like just confirmation bias gets in there.
That's true. You want it to be true.
If you really want it to be true. I've definitely done that in the past where I'm like, well, maybe. Like, maybe this is his two girlfriends or whatever. And then it hasn't been true.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
This actually leads us into our next topic.
Yeah.
Which is doing the same thing, but for your metamors.
Yeah. Or for somebody that, like, your partner just started dating, things like that.
Yeah, usually it's a newer partner of your partner.
Which I go back and forth on that as well.
Okay.
Because
tell us about it.
That gets into
rougher territory, because on the one hand, you know, I think that, like, if you're just looking at a metamor's social media, you're probably just getting, like, the best highlights of their life, the best looking pictures. So if you have insecurities around a particular metamor, it's probably going to be just inflamed by looking at their social media.
Mm-hmm.
But then sometimes it also works in the opposite of serving to humanize that person as well, the same way that a face-to-face meeting does. Sometimes. Not always, but sometimes.
It can.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the issue with social media in general, which I think we're going to continue talking about, but that it's the, like, best possible version of yourself
online. Yeah, it's
online.
The highlight reel.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, it's like, okay, so if my partner's like gone out on a couple dates with somebody and I have no idea what this person looks like or sure. anything, like I want to be able to see their social media to at least see what this person looks like and then maybe back off after that. Because it's kind of like if my brain.
I think a lot of people don't have that same impulse control, though.
I know. Yeah. I know. But if you think about it, if you don't know what this person looks like, and if your brain goes to creating like the most perfect person, the most perfect threatening person you can think of, and then you see what they actually look like, and you're like, oh, okay, that's what they actually look like, a little bit grounded in reality.
But then, what if they're stunning?
Oh, gosh, then it's even worse. I don't know. It's that Schrodinger's cat of metamorphs on social media.
I tend to go more to the don't do so much of the metamorph thing, because it's I guess it's one thing if you're, you know, becoming friends with this person and getting to know them, then it's like, sure,
it's
you want to know
what's
going on in their life. But if it is just like you really don't have much of a relationship with this person, then at least for me, my preference is to just be like, you know, they're going to do their own thing and I'm going to focus on my partners and my friends instead of obsessing over what I think this person may or may not be doing or what they may be like.
Yeah.
This, we talked about this a while ago. I can't remember what the episode was, but about some studies that had been published about showing that when people spend time on Facebook, they tend to come away with a lower self-esteem and less happiness.
Yeah. They found that like people who take a week off of Facebook tend to be much happier
And have higher self-esteem, and
less
stuff
depressed,
like that.
Because of like social comparison theory and things
like
that.
Because you're seeing this highlight reel of everyone else's life, and you're like, here I am sitting, you know, eating a bag of chips, browsing Facebook, while everyone else is like, you know, hiking Kilimanjaro and doing these awesome things.
Wow, that's amazing. And so, to say that your metamorph is potentially doing that, that probably could lead to maybe some bad self-esteem.
Well, I feel like
potentially.
I think just having an awareness of that can be helpful.
That's true.
Knowing that you're dipping into this person's life, but understanding that it's probably going to be a good parts only version of their life.
Yeah.
And our five, or what was it, our tactics to tame jealousy. Not to necessarily, like, use that comparison thing.
Right.
Yeah, don't compare your weak points against someone else's great points.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is hard to not do on social media. Just the nature of the beast.
Yeah. Well, and it's addictive. So, that's why it keeps us coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So, Dedeker, you had talked about sometimes people that you know kind of getting into or reading into or misinterpreting social media posts.
Well, I think we're
really
all guilty of this. Because of this nature of creeping on somebody's social media, you, like, de facto end up in that sleuth role of, like, piecing together all the clues. Exactly. What's like, well, this means this, and they posted about this, so that must mean that their political opinions mean this, or they posted about this, and are they referring to a date that they went on with my partner the other night? Is that what it means? You know, that I think it can be very easy for us to, as we're trying to piece together a person that we don't know very well, whether that's a potentially new partner or a metamor that we haven't met yet, that we can kind of like over obsess and like apply a lot of meaning to like the clues we find on somebody's social media that may not necessarily be the case.
Yeah.
Okay. But what I think Emily was trying to bring us to is that this isn't just with new partners, that this kind of reading into or maybe overanalyzing or just misinterpreting social media posts happens also with our longer term partners as
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And this is those kind of things of like, well, you know, I'm dating this person and they told me this, but then I saw on his social media that he tagged his other partner in a post, and then when I looked at his social media, he said this other thing, and now it's making me question it, right? Like, you can see how this can get out of hand really quickly.
Yeah.
And this one, I think, is big, because this is not just kind of, I get it, like, stalking people online, whatever. This is, like, something that, supposedly, this is what social media is for, is kind of knowing what people in your life are up to, whether it's your partners or whatever. But then we end up in this problem where if you feel like you're not getting the whole story, you're going to try to look deeper to find this story that you're not getting.
So this reminds me of kind of a larger communication phenomenon in general, which is, I mean, can be very roughly boiled down to indirect versus direct communication. That's kind of reductive, but that's kind of what it comes down to. And the idea that some people, and particularly some cultures, communicate more indirectly, and some cultures communicate more directly. And I feel like we see the same phenomenon in the way that people use social media, because, like, sometimes people post things on social media and they're not trying to hide some kind of subtext. Like, they're not vague booking. Like, you know, maybe they are just posting a link to a music video just because they saw it that day and they think it's cool. They're not trying to, like, make some kind of statement about what's going on in their life and their relationships. But the problem is that some people do that. Like, right. Some people do the vague booking or, like, leaving something really cryptic or, like, you know, or some kind of passive communication that does mean something. And so I think that, like, people start to get confused because they don't know what kind of communication this person employs and or how they employ it on their social media.
Yeah, it's man, like, this is one that's definitely... I feel like this... at least in my experience with people that I know, tends to happen less often with a partner who you see a lot and are very close with. And this tends to happen more with the partners that you might only see once a week or something like that, where you don't have quite as much, like, everyday goings-on communication as you do with someone that you might be seeing, like, 4 days a week or something like that, or someone you live with.
So you may read into something just because you don't know them as well.
Because there's and maybe it's not, like, as frequent of communication.
Yeah.
That you're not getting all
you
this sort of...
You have to fill in the blanks yourself to a certain degree.
Yeah, exactly. And that sometimes, especially if you're in a state where you're feeling either more insecure or feeling a little less trusting because of something, whether that's something in yourself or something that happened in your relationship with that person, it can be really tempting to go into these kind of... yeah, sleuthing.
Just kind of like read into everything.
Yeah, reading into everything, trying to find this hidden meaning because you're not getting enough yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Well, on that note.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For a long time now, we've been fans of AdamandEve.com for getting sex toys or lingerie or accessories, things like that. It's just a fantastic resource with a huge selection. And now, not only do we have a fantastic offer, but we also have a promo code that will work on adammail.com and evestoys.com, which are their sites specifically for LGBTQ audiences. And our code is fantastic. It's 50% off of almost any item in the store and free discreet shipping when you use our code MULTI.
Yes, we love AdamandEve.com and have for years. They are our oldest and longest sponsor, and they just keep on giving great gifts to us and to our listeners. You can bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom by going to AdamandEve.com, AdamMail.com, or EvesToys.com and select any one item. It can be, you know, an adventurous new toy or anything you desire, something fun, something sexy, whatever sounds good.
So just enter offer code MULTI at checkout and you'll get 50% off almost any item plus free shipping. That's MULTI, M-U-L-T-I, at adamandeve.com, adammail.com, or evestoys.com. This is an exclusive offer that is specific to this podcast and it's better than any offer that is currently available on their site. So again, use code MULTI to get you not just the 50% discount, but also the 100% free shipping. Code M-U-L-T-I.
Okay, so I think, the big obvious one with social media is that obviously people really use social media to provide social proof of their relationships. You know, it's why Facebook came built in with this relationship status module, where you can declare to the world when you're in a relationship with somebody, when you got engaged with somebody, when you're married to somebody, there is the divorce status. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody listing their
divorce status.
There's
a separated status, which
there?
I just saw a friend of mine now has separated. Okay. And I was like,
people do use it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. People use it.
Yep.
But it's challenging when you're in an open relationship because it says, in an open relationship with, you can just
there's
say, like,
there's
in
only
an open
one
relationship.
Only one partner.
But there's only one blank.
Yeah, the same problem that OkCupid has.
Totally. Yeah. It's like, who do you choose? You know, you shouldn't choose anyone.
But there's kind of this floating expectation, and this expectation does vary depending on the person, that like when you're in a relationship with somebody, you're going to make them kind of visible to your social media feed, as in like you'll post selfies together, maybe you'll update your relationship status and tag them in it, or you'll tag them when you're going to events, or maybe you'll even you'll post on each other's wall, or maybe you'll even straight up write you know, statuses about them, things like that. And so, of course, this can present a problem with non-monogamous relationships, particularly if you're not out. And we'll talk more about coming out of the closet on social media a little bit later.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, just I recall a couple years ago, a coworker of mine, I was kind of counseling her through some stuff with polyamory because her boyfriend was dating her and another girl. And that girl really enjoyed selfies and really enjoyed posting stuff on social media, so it would always look like the other girl was the more visible one, even though this chick felt as though she were the more in the more primary position, which is interesting. It's like, sometimes it's out of your control entirely.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and that can definitely be an issue, I think particularly with more strict primary-secondary models, where it's like, there's clearly one partner who's going to get more of the airtime, as it were, on social media. Sometimes it may be that, like, you can't post with any other partner whatsoever for various reasons. Like, it can bring up a lot of feels.
Yeah, well, and like Emily was saying, a lot of it can just have to do with this partner's really into selfies, and so they always think of it, and this other partner's not, and so they don't get posted as often. Yeah, there's also that awkward situation if you're in a relationship where you're less out, or if you have a partner who you know gets really sensitive about that, and then you're out with your other partner who loves to take selfies together, and they're taking those, and you're like, ah, like, you're worrying, oh man, my partner at home who's not out with me right now might be upset about this. There can be a lot of stuff, especially if you're not openly talking about all of this with each of your partners. Yeah. Like, it can be a lot of a burden to carry around with you, is worrying about who's getting shown and who's not.
And it can be not even just about like how your partners feel, because different partners can feel different things about seeing social media posts with metamors or whatever. But for a lot of people, it is about, I'm going to have to answer some pointed questions for my friends and family if I'm posting a selfie with one woman this week and then a selfie with another partner the other week, you know, things like that. Which leads us to our discussion of course, like, choosing to be out of the closet or not really dictates what you do choose to post on social media.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And this is something that, you know, this is not a new problem, right? This is something that, you know, especially the gay community has had to deal with this for quite a while, of if you're not out for whatever reason, whether it's fear of your family's reactions or fear of losing a job or, you know, whatever it is for you, that while your partner, at least at first, might be okay with that and understanding about it, it is hard. It does take a toll on that partner who's being hidden. And I think that one of the challenges that's kind of unique to non-monogamy, though, compared to just same-sex relationships, is that not only are you getting hidden, but someone else might not be.
Yeah, that, like, you might be getting hidden, but somebody else is getting highlighted, as it were.
Right.
You know, and I think this happens often, especially if a couple started out monogamous, and, like, on Facebook or on social media, they have the appearance of being monogamous.
Yeah.
And so that means that, you know, if you're this person's other partner, and maybe this couple isn't out of the closet or whatever, that means that, like, you don't get any of the pictures or any of the tags on Facebook, and that this other partner does.
Right. Yeah.
And like, maybe going into it, you may understand that, but it still doesn't make it feel any less
wearing,
I think. It can be wearing
over time. And absolutely.
I think the important part here is to really be aware of that, Because I've definitely found that a lot of people who, you know, they might feel like they have very good reasons for not being out. And they probably do have very good reasons for that. But because of that, they can often underestimate how hard that can be for the person who's being hidden or who's never being posted about and who kind of has to always be mindful of what they post on Facebook and not tag you and stuff, that that is hard for them. And they might understand your reasons might be so logical and might be good, but it's still going to be hard. And I've definitely seen people who are just kind of not aware of that and don't sort of have the level of understanding and respect for what you're really asking of someone to be in a relationship with you if you're not going to be out in that way. So just to be aware of it so that you can be understanding and have those kinds of honest conversations about it.
So, in summary...
Yeah, so what the heck do we do with all this information?
Well, definitely talk about it. I think that's the thing. Even in long-term relationships, I don't know if I ever sat down with any of my partners and said, like, okay, so how out are we going to be here on social media with other people? Is it a problem if I post with someone else? Is that cool with you? Like, my expectation is X. What is yours?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, always just having those very direct conversations about these things.
I would say the thing, and this comes up in like the conversations that we've had before about creating agreements with your partners, is that something to be aware of here is that whether or not you have a primary relationship or you've come from a monogamous relationship to polyamory, this is not just a two-person conversation where the two of you are kind of setting the rules for everyone else. That this is, there are a lot of other people involved here.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of having it be an ongoing conversation. That it's not just something
with
you decide once and you make rules. But this is something like, we could talk about, how do you feel about those things? How do you feel about it? And then I could talk to another partner and you could talk to another partner. How do you feel? Where do you lie about it? And then we'd come back. And this would sort of be an ongoing process. It's not like everyone has to sit down and have a committee meeting. But
although that would be cute.
Something I've found that's been helpful for me is kind of finding, just in general with relationships, was sort of what are my standards and like what are the things that I want to be able to practice in my life rather than, oh, well, hey, I want to date you. Here's the rules that I have because of somebody else. Or like, here are the things I do because this other person requests them. It's more just every relationship I can come into with, hey, here's kind of where I stand on whatever it is, whether it's safe sex, whether it's posting on social media, you know, whether it's the amount of time I spend with my partners or who I want to live with or whatever it is. That it kind of comes from like, here's kind of my thing. Like, here's my thing, and it's up to you whether you're into those things or not, I guess, whether that's okay for you, rather than feeling like...
Do you have specifics of, like specifically with social media, like, if you were sitting down to talk to somebody about...
Well, like we talked about last week, is that my general thing is that I don't put that I'm in a relationship with anybody, because on Facebook, I only have the one option to put that, and I'm increasingly disillusioned with the idea of... whoever I'm in a romantic relationship with being important and who my friends are being less important. So with all of that, my thing is just like, if an important part of a relationship to you is having me put in a relationship with so-and-so, not going to happen. Like, that's just not something that I do on my social media. And then also posting like very couple-y stuff, I guess. Like, I'll definitely post pictures with partners and I'll also post pictures with friends.
But not so couple-centric, you mean?
Yeah, not putting a lot of the... I've actually moved away from sort of the hashtag boyfriend or hashtag girlfriend or hashtag couple, whatever. You know, kind of identifying with that and instead being like, I'm doing this thing with this person.
Yeah.
And you might assume they're all my partners or you might assume they're all my friends, but that's kind of on you rather than kind of making that choice like, oh, am I... You know, am I identifying as a couple with this person but not with this other? Does that mean this person's more important than this other person? So I tend to take a little bit of a kind of less is more approach there. But that's just my approach. There are other people who instead want to use the hashtag boyfriend, hashtag girlfriend with all their partners and like really go all out with that.
Well, I think the point of that being that just just talk to everybody that you're involved with, because some people put a lot of importance on this and some people don't.
Yeah.
Some people put, like, you know, don't care about being tagged in a relationship status, but they do care about, like, but I do want to feel like you can share my existence with your friends and family, you know? And some people are going to be more upset by seeing you post pictures of you with somebody else than others will be. And it's kind of up to you to decide and navigate and figure out those individual situations.
Yeah, but that it's an ongoing conversation.
But I think that this is another situation, as far as the, like, posting pictures with other partners thing goes, I think this is another thing where the concept of being unapologetically poly works as well. Of, like, if from the beginning of your relationship you're also posting about other partners or other people that you're involved with, if you do such a thing, rather than kind of trying to sugarcoat it, I guess, or I don't know, just the usual stuff that we say about being unapologetic.
Right. Of just, don't, like, if you start dating someone new who's kind of new to polyamory, don't all of a sudden start posting less with your other partners because you're worried about easing them into it or something. I found that generally that kind of strategy ends up backfiring. That it's better to just do what you're going to do and what you're already doing instead of trying to, because there's so many moving parts. You know, I would say even in a monogamous relationship, though, if you are going into a relationship and changing a lot of your habits to try to be more appealing to this partner or less threatening to them,
that's not great either.
Already, I feel like that's a dicey place to start a relationship from.
Well,
and with friends and family, like, don't necessarily leave them out of all of your posts, or just, like, completely couple-centric, I'm only going to post with my partner or my partners.
Yeah.
Also, like, bring your friends and family into the mix. Yeah. That's important.
Totally.
Let's not leave anyone out here.
Yeah, that's definitely coming from more of our, like, a little bit of relationship anarchist roots. Of that you don't have to set yourself up in this situation where you elevate all romantic relationships above any non-romantic relationship to the point where those are the only people that get any kind of acknowledgement in your social feed or things like that.
Well, I love the idea of having, you know, having a Facebook feed or a Twitter feed or whatever. We shouldn't just limit this conversation to Facebook, but, you know, if, like, enjoyed this really magical experience with so-and-so, you know, who is just your friend, or who's your a family member or something. It's like, we enjoyed this, you know, magical sunset at this place, or, oh, we had this amazing dinner here with my friend. That I would love that idea that your Facebook has all of, like, everything can be that kind of magical, epic sort of stuff instead of just...
You've said the word magical like five times.
Because I feel like that's the kind of shit that people put on their coupley photos
right?
Is everything's
stuff.
Magical, right? It's like, it's magical, it's wonderful, it's enchanting. It's like that type of language we use for... That implies that our experiences we have with our romantic partners are somehow inherently different or better or more magical than partners with anyone, or than our experiences with anyone else. So just, I love that idea of kind of having, like,
so
I'm going to post awesome selfies with my
friends. Sprinkle some magic
into
your friends and family relationships.
Everyone else. Yeah.
Spread the magic around.
Yeah. Don't just save it for...
You heard it here first, folks.
Magic, yo.
Well, on that note, I think this episode's done.
Yeah, it was a little long. That's fine.
Yes.
You guys will get a lot about social media on this one.
Yeah, and speaking of social media, you guys can find our social media. If you go to facebook.com/multiamory, you can follow us on Twitter, @multiamory. You can find us on Instagram, @multiamory_podcast. You can also send us an email at info@multiamory. We do read every single one of every single email that we receive, and we do respond to them as well, even though it may take us a little bit of time.
And if you have a question or a topic that you would like us to discuss on the show, the best way to get that to happen is to call and leave a voicemail at our phone number, which is 678-MULTI-05. And you can just leave us a voicemail, or if you're international, you can leave us a Facebook audio message. So if you find the Multiamory page that Dedeker just told you about, you can send send a message and then use the audio option to send an audio message to us.
To support our show and join our private Facebook community, go to patreon.com/multiamory. Multiamory is created and produced by Jace Lindgren, Dedeker Winston, and me, Emily Sotelo-Matlack. Our episodes are edited by Mauricio. Our social media wizard is Will McMillan. Our theme song is Forms I Know I Did by Josh Anand from the Fractal Cave EP.